Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, we would like to welcome you to Jehovah Jireh International Institution. And yes, this is the day that the Lord has made. We choose to rejoice and to be glad in it. I am Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. So glad that you tune in on today. We thank God for our on-air class because we find that we are able to meet or to reach quite a few people through online class. And so, therefore, we want you to invite your neighbor, your friends, and tell those that you know that need to know more about Jesus, those that need to know how to reach the lost at any cost. Tell those that involve and have that compassion, passion for mission and evangelism. Well, today we are going to begin a new study and which is on concern. But we just want to just recap somewhat as to what we discussed on last week. Well, we talked about commission. And in that, and when we found in the Matthew 28:18-20, it reads, "Then Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all men, of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And then we see in the Word of God, as God always backs everything up with Scripture, and even as he backs it up with Scripture and give us insight and give us revelation, it helps us when we can really read the Word and cause the Word of God to be consistently a part of our lives. But the Word of God says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman of God need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. So when we look at Acts 1:8, and this is only a recap to bring you up to what we discussed on last week, and for those that are joining us for the first time or was not able to be on the online mission and evangelism. But Acts 1:8 reads, "But ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Here we're going to stop and we're going to pray. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you and praise you. God, we magnify your name. And Lord, we just thank you, God, for another opportunity, God, to come before you. Truly, we thank you, God, because you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You are the first and the last. You are the true and the living God. Truly, we thank you, God, for Jehovah Jireh International Institution. We thank you, God, for the work that you have given us, that we can have that passion, that we can have that love one for another. God, that we can be built up on the inside, and God, spiritually, physically, and financially, Lord God, to go forth and to make more fishers of men. And so this we will bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible says what we do in word of deed, we have to do it, and we need to do it in the name of Jesus. So when we look at Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, that 7 and 8 verse, it reads, "So you, son of man," and you always got to take his word like God speaking to you, because he is speaking to us. He say, "I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, ye shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, shall surely die. And you do not speak to warn the wicked from their way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. So we have an obligation. We are people of God with an obligation that God has given us, and he has made us watchmen, and therefore we need to watch for people's souls. And we're going to be getting into the topic concern, and this is going to lead us into the night discussion on concern. But I want you to be able to get in your spirit class. I want you to be able to know what the Word of God says. And so when we say it, we're not just saying repeating words, but we're saying it because of the fact that we need to be watchmen on the wall. And if we're watchmen on the wall, we are continually watching for people's souls. And we gave a demonstration, we were able to give an example on last week about watching, being a watchman on the wall. If you were given that job to watch the gate, to watch the wall, so the enemy would not come in and deceive and destroy the people, then that's a very, very important job that you have. And so it is with the Word of God. We have been given the opportunity to be watchmen on the wall. And it's so, so important that we are armed with the Word of God, and we are filled with God's Spirit, and that we are filled with God's power, and we know the Word, and the Word of God is abiding deep down within us. Now, if we were on the wall and we didn't warn the people, if we don't warn sinners, if we don't let them know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, then they will not know how to flee from the enemy. They wouldn't know when the enemy is about to attack them. So therefore, God has made us believers, because we believe him. We believe the Word of God. And therefore, we are watchmen and watching for the souls of the people, that they don't have to die. They listen for correction. They listen to the Word of God so that they can amend their ways. And then they don't have to die, but they can be saved and they can come into God. Saving grace. So remember Ezekiel, that 33rd chapter, the 7th and the 8th verse. And the last scripture I want to talk about before we go into concern is that God said something to us on last week. And it says that you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the foot by men. He said that we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So we see tonight that it is very important that we be watchmen, that we be seasoned with salt, that we got the Word of God within us, that we got God's flavor. And if we don't have God's flavor and we're not seasoned with salt, how are we going to season somebody else's life? How are we going to tell somebody else about Christ? How are we going to win them for the kingdom of God? Because as you know, the Word of God says that the harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. And I've said this time after time, there have been times when I've read the word and I've read that portion of the scripture, and it really kind of bothered me when, because the word of God says the harvest is plentiful, the labors are few. The part of it that disturbed me is that the labors are few, when we know that there are so many Christians that proclaim and professing Christians, and the labors in the harvest is so few. So therefore, something wrong with that picture. And we as a saints of God, people of God, we need to be out in the harvest. We need to be able to tell others that the wages of sin is death. Give a God is eternal life. We need to be able to tell them that God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that is important. And that's just an update from last week on our ability, our part of being that fisher of men, and that part of us as being who God wants us to be in him. It is so important that we have compassion one for another. You know, it's really something when we lose compassion. You know, I can understand why we don't win souls and we don't have compassion for others. We don't have the compassion of Christ when we don't do this. But I thank God that the men and women and the boys and girls that have a part of Jehovah Jireh International Institution, they have that passion because they're listening consistently and they're taking a part of what we are teaching so that they can go out every day and to make of other fishers of men. So tonight, we want to talk about concern. We want to know what is God speaking to us about concern. We talk about compassion. We need to have compassion. So tonight, we want to talk about concern. Concern is very important. Now, if we're going to define concern, it is defined as to be interest, to be of interest or importance to. It also is to relate to be connected with, and also interest or in a. So one of the first questions raised in recorded history was, am I my brother's keeper? And that was an important question. That is a very important question. Am I my brother's keeper? And that is the reply that Cain gave to God when he asked him about his brother. Where's your brother, Cain? He said to God, am I my brother's keeper? Why should I be concerned about him? Why is it that I've got to keep up with his whereabouts or where he is or what he's doing or what he's saying? Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, we should be our brother's keeper. We have a moral obligation towards others. When we look at Ezekiel 22 and 30, it says, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, but I shall not destroy it, but I found no one. That's very important. And that's even sad that when Christ looked for people to stand in the gap and there are few people that want to stand in the gap, then what is going to happen to the people that are not saved, that don't know Christ, that need for someone to pray for them, someone to talk to them, someone to encourage them, someone to give them hope? So Ezekiel 22 and 30 says, again, I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I shall not destroy it. Remember how Abraham intercede for the people when Christ was getting ready to destroy them because of their wickedness, because of it was perverse, because they wasn't holy, because they were not right. And Abraham began to intercede time after time, and that God, if he found a certain amount of people, would he not destroy the land for so many? And he kept interceding for them. He said, asking God, you know, would you not do that? Would you save them? Would you not destroy them? And God listened faithfully to Abraham while he was interceding, while he was asking God to move on behalf of those people. And we have people today that no matter how they kneel, that doesn't mean that we don't love them. It doesn't mean that we don't care about them. They could be fornicators, whoremongers, liars, stealers. They could be in a three-piece suit and whatever. But they can just, they can maybe be a good citizen, but yet not saved. But yet we have to go to God on their behalf. We also have to reach them for the kingdom of God. We're going to give right now Evangelist William. She's going to come in, and we're going to let her comment for about 2 minutes, and we're going to see what God has given her about what we whatever she would like to speak on today, and then we're going to continue on. Let's go to Evangelist William.
Good afternoon, Dr. McCoy, and to everybody that's listening. Truly, it is a blessing, amen, to get in on Jehovah Jireh's class, Block Talk Radio, and to just yet stir us up as a whole, letting us know that it's time to go forth. Time is winding up, and it's time for us to be about our Father's business. And as I listen to Dr. McCoy, I tell you, she covered so many gold nuggets, even as she did a recap on last week. And she's talking to us about being watchmen on the wall. And that's something we've got to be very mindful of. And as I think about being a watchman on the wall, that means when you are watching, you know, the scripture says watch as well as pray. And when you are alert and when you are mindful of everything going on around you, and when you are watching, not much of nothing get past you. So we're thinking about being a watchman on the wall, and we think about the word of God, how God said, I sought for a man, and you know the story, how God looked everywhere, and he could not find nobody that was worthy to die for the sins of the world. He could not even find nobody that was spotless or blameless or sinless. So he created himself a sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice. And you know the story, that was Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So as I listened to Dr. McCoy, I heard her say, we must warn the people. And I thought about myself, somebody warned me one day. Somebody told me about Jesus one day. The same as amen, those of you that are listening, somebody pointed you to Jesus. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody warned you. Somebody ministered to you one way or the other. Somebody, amen, told us that we need to be saved, and we have got to carry the torch. We cannot let it stop at our salvation. We cannot let it stop at me, myself, and I. We've got to tell people that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, and it's so important. When you think about a gift is free. You don't have to earn a gift. A gift is given to you, and God has given us a gift. The gift of God is eternal life. And when you think about the gift of God, you don't want to, a lot of times when you've been blessed or somebody give you a gift, you just, want to pick up the telephone and tell somebody, or you want to share it with somebody. You want to let somebody know that you received this gift. A gift warms the heart. A gift makes one glad. A gift is special because you didn't pay for it. It was given unto you. So the same way that we need to make people know that they are earning damnation, that they're earning the wages of sin is death, and we need to let people know that it's time to seek the face of God, that it's really time to seek the face of God, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And right before I turn it over back to Dr. McCoy, I'm excited about this concern. We ought to be concerned as born-again believers. When God saved us and he implanted himself in us, he imputed righteousness into us, and he lives on the inside of us, it caused us to automatically be concerned about others. Because we love God, we love people. Therefore, it makes us to be concerned that people are headed in the wrong direction. And because of that concern, we want to make people know that God loves them so much and it's time to be saved. Amen. I'm excited. I'm turning it back over to you, Dr. McCoy. But let's get excited about this thing, people. Amen. Back over to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Evangelist William. Yes. It is so important that we have compassion, excitement about the will of God. I believe that love of God inside of us will cause us to want to see other souls run to the kingdom of God and to be that witness for him and to know that he has given us that gift as Evangelist William was speaking to us. And that gift is eternal life, that we can have eternal life. God gave himself. Where does God say? But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So therefore, when we going back to continuation on concern, in Ezekiel 34:6, it says, my sheep wander through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one seeking or searching for them. And even as I read that, my soul, my spirit on the inside, I feel what God is saying. I feel what we as believers should fear when he's saying that my sheep, my people, they are wandering all over the mountain. They're going from here. They're going there. They're going on every high hill. They're going where they've been scattered. And so they're scattered on the face of the earth, of the whole earth. They're being scattered. And God is concerned because God is saying there's no one seeking after them. There's no one searching for them. And it's our responsibility as being evangelists, as being missionary-minded, as being one of that ambassadors for Christ, being fishers of men, being believers, that we have been called to cover the earth with his word. We've been called to go and to seek them that are lost. For the word of God says the harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. So therefore, he is letting us know there is a concern about his sheep. A sheep has to be led. A sheep, you have to tend to that sheep like David tended to that sheep. He kept them as a shepherd, and he watched over the sheep day and night so the wolves would not come and destroy them. So it is that we have to watch for the sheep. We have to watch for the souls of the people, that the enemy will not destroy them. For the word of God said, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came that we can have life and that we can have it more abundantly. Okay, let's look Isaiah class. Let's look at Isaiah, the 58th chapter, and that 10th verse. It reads, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. So we have to extend ourselves. We have to extend our soul to the hungry. When I read and read on the 25th chapter of Matthew about how God tells us about ministering to his people, how feeding them and taking care of those that are hungry and those that are in prison and the people that God is concerned about. Them. Sometimes we don't think that he is concerned about. Sometimes we think because a person is in prison that they don't matter. But you know what? God wants us to know that they do matter to him. When I think about Paul and Peter, all of them, they were disciples of Christ, and yet they were in prison. They put them in prison because of the fact that nothing because they had done evil, because they had done good. And so, therefore, God was concerned about them. He was so concerned about them until one time he sent the angel, unlocked the prison door, and they were able to walk out. And so it is that God is concerned about the soul of man. He's concerned about those that are hungry, and they're hungry not only for the natural food, but they're hungry for that spiritual food. They're hungry because they need the word of God to satisfy that soul and that desire that they are, don't know sometimes what they need, but what they need is Christ Jesus. They need the word of God. They need God in their heart, in their soul, and in their spirit. And sometimes people say, you know, have a different saying as to how they're feeling on the inside, and they feel empty on the inside, and they can't tell you why they feel empty on the side. You know, they're empty a minute time because they don't have Christ on the inside. You know, a lot of times they're lonely because they don't have Christ on the inside, because Christ says that I'll never leave you, I'll forsake you. If when Christ comes in, we got to know that he will not leave us, he will not forsake us, but he'll be there with us. And I understand how sometimes people go through situations in their life and the enemy tries to make them feel that Christ is not there and Christ is not concerned about them. I believe David went through many times and many struggles with him when he thought that God had forsaken him. But yet God never forsaken David. He would never forsake you. He even said David was a man after his own heart. And when we look at this, when we look at that Isaiah 58 and 10, I'd like to read it again. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall shine, shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. And then when we look at the word of God, he said, I tell you the truth in Christ, I'm not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continuous grief in my heart. But I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. And one of the things that we needed to say to you today, that don't lose your concern for the people of God and your passion. And this is always in our study as being a mission-minded, as being having that evangelistic anointing upon you, that you do not forget. We can never forget the people that God has upon this earth. He has already told us tonight how they're scattered from one place to the other, and we need to go, and we need to be concerned about the people that God is concerned about. So when we're talking about concern, there's another part of concern. Concern also deals with intercession. It, when we look at intercession, it is the way that leads to winning of souls. It all let us know that no church can prosper without it. Having intercession, being able to intercede for souls. Somebody intercede for us. Somebody, they intercede because they were concerned about us, no matter how we were in the world. Somebody interceded for us, no matter how minded and how ungrateful and how unthankful and how we live our life. Somebody prayed for us. That song, a song said, somebody prayed for me. They kept me on their mind. So therefore, when we intercede, it is the way that lead to winning of souls. And no church, again, no church can prosper without it. No Christian, listen, no Christian can grow without intercession. You're not going to grow if you are not interceding for others, interceding for yourself, interceding for people around you. That's what interceding and intercession are about, getting in prayer. The Bible says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek your face, turn away from their wicked way, he said that he will hear from heaven. He said that he will forgive the sin, and he said that he will heal the land. Listen, the law of life demands reproduction, and that kind should beget its kind. And Jesus interceded for each of us. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the small with the strong, because he poured out the soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressor, and he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgression. That is from Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and the 12th verse. So therefore, it is important that we intercede, like Christ interceded for us. When we intercede for people, then we can, we know that Christ is pleased. We know that we're going to be able to win more souls for the kingdom of God. You know, you don't just have to intercede or be concerned about people that you know, which you should be concerned about, but you need to be concerned about the people that you don't know as well. So that's something that we should think about. Remember in Matthew 9 and 38, Christ left this commandment for us. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers unto the harvest. And it's so important that God send more laborers unto the harvest. We're going to take 2 minutes again, and we're going to go back to Evangelist Williams, and we're going to let her comment on concern. Evangelist Williams.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. I tell you, this is a really good lesson tonight, because it's so many gold nuggets entailed in this lesson. And as I listened to Dr. McCoy teaching on concern, and one of the last things I said earlier is that when we have God living on the inside of us, it automatically, he teaches us how to love and how to be concerned. He teaches us how to go forth doing the work of the Lord. And when we go forth being obedient unto God, when you think about what Jesus did, and most of you know there's an old song that says, I want to be just like Jesus. Well, when you think about what Jesus did, Jesus' ministry consisted of teaching, preaching, and healing. And Jesus went forth doing the work of his Father because he knew that there was a purpose for him being here. God created him for a special purpose, and he went forth to fulfill that purpose. So when he finished, when it was all over, he said, I have done what my Father told me to do. And at the end of the day, we've got to examine ourselves to see if we're doing what God has commissioned us to do. You know, my mind go back to the lesson we had on last week. On last week, we talked about our commission. And those of you that are born again, you know that we have a mandate on our lives. God has commissioned us to go forth, commissioned us to tell somebody that Jesus is soon to come. And Jesus himself said it like this. He said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. So as I listened to Dr. McCoy teach on the topic concern, we've got to remember that God wants us to be concerned. The same way he is concerned about us, and the same way that God loved us unto salvation, we have got to take on the very same concern. I'm reminded of a song that Shirley Caesar sang, God is concerned, and he's working it out for you. And when you listen at some of these songs, and some of them come from the very spirit of the person, and some of these songs have to remind us that God loves us, so forth and so on. And God wants us to go forth and love somebody else the way that he loves us. And I think about what Jude said in the book of Jude. Jude said this. He said, but ye, beloved, he's talking to the people of God, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And listen at this. Jude said this in the 22nd verse of Jude. He said, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And then he said in the 23rd verse, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And I just had to share that because as God showed me that in the Word of God, I tell you again, I'm going back to Shirley Caesar's song, God is concerned, and he's working it out for us. So we have got to be concerned. We have got to go forth and tell somebody that Jesus is soon to come, that God loved them so much, he wants them saved. He wants them to be delivered. He wants them to be happy. He wants them to enjoy life. Remember, in Jesus Christ, we don't just have life, but the Bible says life more abundantly. Now, what can you ask for much more than that? There are benefits in salvation. So let's tell somebody about the benefits of Jesus Christ. There are benefits of being saved. There's benefits in serving the Lord. And if we get on our job because the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few, we're going to make up the difference. We're going to go out and bring somebody else in, and that somebody is going to bring somebody else in, and it's going to continue until Jesus comes. We're going to have that compassion, and we're going to make the difference. Amen. Back over to you, Dr. McCoy.
And when we look at one of the commission statement that we had began with, it really has touched my heart, because we have shared this before with you, and I believe this may be the third time or the fourth time, and I just like to give those that have not heard it, if you have at any time where, and if we shared it before, it's nothing wrong with me hearing it again. And it says, give us a watchword for the hour, a thrilling word, a word of power, a battle cry, a flaming breath, a call to conquest to death, a word to arouse the church from rest, to heed the master hath behest. The call is given, the hope arrives. The watchword is evangelize. To fallen men, a dying race, make known the gift of gospel grace. The world that now in darkness lies, O Church of Christ, evangelize. And that's what we're talking about on tonight. We're talking about being concerned. We're talking about being concerned about the people of God. If we're not concerned, then no souls will be won to the kingdom. God has already commissioned us. He has already have taught us and reminded us what he is saying to us this day and this hour, 2014. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all men. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the earth. So if we're talking about contact, and we're talking about commission, and so therefore, when we look at John 1:41, it began with personal contact, and this is still under our topic that we're talking about. Part of this is what God wants us to do as being missionaries, as being in mission, being evangelism, being people of God, being concerned about their soul. And in John 1:41, it begins with personal contact. He first found his own brother, Simon. Remember that. And said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. So he had gone, and he had said to his brother, and he let them know that they had found the Messiah. They have found Christ. So you have found Christ. If you know about Christ, then you ought to let somebody else know about Christ. It began with personal contact. We're going to have another, in order to reach people for the kingdom, you got to first, it has to begin with the personal contact. It's just like you getting saved. And you you know the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. God is changing your life. You've been touched by that person that God has sent you to be a witness to you. And you'll go and you'll tell somebody. You say, well, Mary, you know, today Christ came into my life. I don't feel the same. I don't desire to do the things that I did on yesterday. Why? Because Christ came in my life. I have found the Messiah. And so, therefore, we need to let somebody feel that same type of contact with Christ, to know that Christ will come into their life. You got to go. You got to tell somebody else. We're talking about personal contact, and that's one of the headings that we want to go into now, is personal contact. And when you look at Luke, the 19th chapter, the 10th verse, with Christ came the emphasis of seeking the lost. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's why he came. Word of God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, the movement of Christianity in this world is scripturally based on what? It's based on personal contact. Anyone who really knows Jesus will want others to know him as well. The secret is in the word of Andrew, when he said, we have found. We have found. The search for the satisfaction in a man's soul is completed in a living knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have found him. I found what I was looking for. I found what I was so empty on the inside. I found what I needed most. I found that what's going to make me happy. I found what's going to take away the sadness in my life. I found what's going to give me eternal life. I found what will give me that everlasting life. So, therefore, that is what the secret is in what Andrew said, when we have found him. We have found Christ. That's personal evangelism, going to somebody else, telling them how God changed their life and what God came into their life. Personal evangelism is sharing this discovery. And he brought him to Jesus. How is this accomplished? Christ gives the answer. You know what Christ said? Christ said, follow me. He said, follow me. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's found in Matthew 4 and 19. A love for Christ produces a love for mankind. I don't care how much we say that we love people, if we don't tell them about Christ, if we don't tell them that God loved them and that God paid the price for them and he died for them and he wants them to be saved, he wants them to be delivered, he wants them to be made free, he wants them to have joy, he wants them to have hope, he wants them to have a new life in him, and so on and on. But they got to know it, and we have to have that personal contact that they can know that there are people in your job that are waiting for you to tell them about Jesus. There are people in the grocery store, they are waiting for you to tell them about Jesus. There are people in your house, they are waiting for you to tell them about Jesus. There are many people want to see the light of Jesus inside of you, inside of the people of God. They're waiting to see the demonstration of the word of God being manifested in us. Like Paul said, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it is the Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, the Son of God, who loved and who gave himself for me. We are to be workmen who do not need to be ashamed. We need to live today. And because our life, we need to live today for Christ. We need to live every day for him. This guideline must be kept in our mind. And we have several things that we want to share with you. I must live it. You got to think about it. I must love it, live it. I can't say to others, do as I do, or do as I say, but don't do as I do. They must see Christ in me. And when we look at 1 Corinthians 4 and 9, it's my strongest testimony is in my life, in my daily life. And that is so true, our daily life. Don't just tell people what the Word of God says, but we got to be demonstrators. We got to be doers of the Word. We got to be hearers of the Word. And then think about this. I must love people. How are we going to win souls to the kingdom of God and we don't love people? You know, some of us have a problem. We love some people, but we don't love all people. We don't like people that have offended us. We don't like people that have told us the truth. We don't like people that don't see things our way. We don't like people that don't dress the way we dress. We don't like people who are different in some kind of way. But we got to love people because of the fact that God loved people. He loved that thief on the cross, the thief on the cross that was about to be crucified the same time that Christ was crucified. And he didn't turn him down. He didn't say, oh, you're a thief. I'm up here. I didn't do anything wrong. I live a clean and a holy life, and I'm God, and I'm going to die for the sins of the world. But you know, I don't want you talking to me. No, he didn't do that. What he said to him when Christ, when he made the statement to Christ, you know, he knew that that he had sinned, and he knew he did things worthy of sin. He knew he did things worthy of death, but yet he knew that Christ did nothing worthy. So he told Christ, remember me when I come into paradise. So Jesus loved that thief on the cross. He didn't even have time to get baptized in some water, but yet he was able to be saved. I mean, sometimes people try to put so many things on people that they think that they got to do before they get saved. But Christ saved that man, and that day he was in paradise with Christ. He said, and then you got to think, I must meet the public. Jesus was heaven artist at this. Listen, he never met a stranger. Paul testified, I have become all things to all men that I might be all means to save some. So therefore, we got to, sometimes people say, well, I'm bashful. I don't like to speak to people. I don't feel comfortable with them. But, you know, when Christ comes in our lives, Christ will make the difference in our lives, and he will help us that we have no respect of person, whether we meet them in a restaurant, we meet them at church or at work or wherever it may be. Christ, it didn't make a difference to Christ, and we got to be like Christ. We got to do what Christ did. He healed the sick. He went, he talked to people. He made himself known unto them, and they recognized who he was because of the life that he lived and who he was. Listen, also, we must look for needs. We got to look for needs. Jesus said, those who are well have no need of physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repent. You will be surprised how many people are ready to talk. They simply need someone in whom they can have confidence in. Zacchaeus was in trouble. And Jesus, remember Zacchaeus? We're about to close on tonight. But Zacchaeus was one that knew that Jesus was in town. He knew that Jesus was going to come his way. He was a short guy. He was a short man. He wasn't tall in stature. He was a tithe collector. But yet he wanted to see Jesus. And he climbed up into a sycamore tree because he couldn't see through the crowd. That's how desperate people are. So he got not only him, but there are people that want to see Jesus and know what Jesus is all about. Zacchaeus climbed up to the sycamore tree so he could be in position so he could be there when Christ came by. And when he did so, he forgot about who he was. He forgot about his credentials. He forgot about his status, and yet he got up in the tree. How many politicians are you going to see go up in a tree? How many tax collectors are you going to see go up in a tree? How many people are you going to actually see go up in a tree? But God is showing us an example that Zacchaeus, he wanted to see Jesus. He had done a need inside of Zacchaeus. He didn't just climb that tree because he could climb it. He did it because he wanted to see Jesus. And so when he did, and Jesus came by, Jesus looked up in the tree and told Zacchaeus, "Today I must abide in the house." He was ready. His heart was ready. And he told him, "Come down. I must abide in the house today." And so he did. And Jesus came into his home, went home with him. And not only that, Jesus came into his house. Jesus came into his soul. Jesus made a difference in his life. He didn't want to be the same Zacchaeus that he was when Jesus came, what his everyday deeds were. But he was able to give and wanted to give that was, if he had taken from anybody, he wanted to give them, pay them back more than what he had taken. That's when you could know that Christ is in your life. So therefore, on tonight, we want to just put a pin in what we have talked about. And we do want to thank God and honor the Lord today, for it has been a mighty good day. And we thank God for those that have participated with us. We thank God for our online listeners. We do honor the Lord for evangelists, Pandemia, Williams. We honor the Lord for all our listeners. We thank God and so grateful for being with us on tonight. And we thank God for Sergeant Major Cynthia Smith and for all of the other people that's a part and so many that are online with us on tonight. And those that are listening to Jehovah Jireh, we just want to let you know how grateful and how thankful to God for you. But we just want to take this special time, and we want to thank God for Dr. June Normia. She is one of our directors here at Jehovah Jireh International Institution, who birthday is today, and we want to honor her, and we want to thank God for the woman of God for all that God have allowed her to do at the Jehovah Jireh and as a blessing to the ministry. And to God be the glory for the great and the mighty things he has done. We do honor God, and we do want to say happy birthday unto her. We want you tune in on next Monday night at this very same time as we continually talk about the topic of contact. We have not finished that part. We have a lot to say on contact, and then we're going to make our way to conversation. So come on, let's tune in. Let's get ready as God begins to give us what he has for us. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we praise you, God, for all of our directors. We thank you for our other director that's on a part of Jehovah Jireh International Institution. We thank you, God, for that which you have done and that which you're doing according to your word. We thank you for the people of God. We thank you, God, for those that you're adding and adding, God, to this online mission and evangelism classes. And God, we continue to give you, God, the glory and the honor and the praise for all that you have done and all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. Now, God, if there's some on the street that are not saved, that do not know you as Lord and Savior, God, that do not know you as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God, that don't know you, God, as that soon coming came, I pray even now, God, that they will ask you, God, to come in their heart. God, that you said, God, that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God is raised from the dead. God, you said, God, that we shall be saved. And Father, for this, I will glorify and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And God, we thank thee. Amen and amen. And just before we close, I do want to honor the Lord. And because God, to give honor to whom honor is due, I do honor the Lord. I believe that on this month as well, of Evangelist William also celebrated her birthday, I believe it was on the 4th of August, and also Sergeant Major Cynthia Smith also celebrate her birthday on the 13th of this month of August, and to God be the glory for the great, for the mighty things that he has done. May God bless and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he bless you in your going in and in your coming out, is our prayer.